Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite divine wisdom, joy, and laughter. Tonight's engaging topic will be about happiness and stress in this time of year and what everyone's doing running around. Also about your stories, your comments, and all of that will be from an infinite dimensional perspective.
Hello, everyone. It's always so nice to be with you. And, hey, you know, as usual, this show is all about your participation. We do welcome your questions, but we would love to hear your comments, any stories you have, or any advice about the subject du jour. We'll be calling those up in the second part of the show. Let me give you the number, 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And we will repeat that one or more times before we open the lines.
Great, Ani, thank you. You know, happiness, what is it? Well, first, clearly, I think it's self-defined. What is happiness for one is not necessarily happiness for another. So it's important to self-define happiness, but especially in this time of year where everyone is running around and really focusing on what will make each other happy in gift buying and food creating and in offering love. It's really a time to not exclude oneself from that body of work. So it's really a time that happiness can be a part of the journey as long as you pay attention to where you are in the journey and you are having a self-perception, you are recognizing interaction, whether it's in a store, home, or on the phone, that is inputting to you some kind of joy or some kind of presence of mind. So I would think that happiness is no expectations, and on the other level, happiness can also be the expectation that you offer love, and that whatever that love looks like, that is enough in your offering. So, Ani, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, I have to tell a story.
Yay!
and this is not about my family so much, my crazy Armenian family, but, you know, I was at boarding school
mm-hmm.
in England,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was really convinced that I was a very stupid child in boarding school, because I was happy.
Oh.
I was always going around with a smile on my face, trying to make the best of everything. And I'm sure that my teachers thought I had a very, very low IQ, which, by the way, people, isn't the case. I'm almost Mensa. No, seriously, I'm up there, you know. But they'd say things to me like, what's the matter with you, Avedisian? Take that grin off your face. Why are you always so happy? What's
Aww.
Wrong with you? Let's send you to the psychologist and see that the brain cell's missing. No, and that's sort of how I grew up. You know, happiness, it's a choice that I made every day. I didn't expect not to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing is created out of fear, right? It's always
mm-hmm.
out of happiness. I think a lot of people grew up the way I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were told not to smirk, not to be happy, not to be mm-hmm. joyous, because somehow it made them feel that they weren't taking life seriously.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I think, too, yeah, that it made, like what you just explained,
mm-hmm.
if you were too happy, then you were separate from all the unhappiness around you. And so it's almost like, on a societal level, don't be so happy, don't be so free, because then you reflect to the rest of us how unhappy we are.
Exactly.
So please don't be standing out there and doing that.
Yes, you know, just be miserable, because there are people in China and India who are miserable, and there are people who are starving, and, you know, so be miserable, Avedisian, be miserable, and, you know, show God that you love everyone by supporting the misery in the world. It's crazy. Why didn't anyone teach us that we were created to be joyous, we were created to create happiness, and that's the vibration, that it's a choice that we make on a daily basis?
You know, I think we were born with that knowing as children, and then it was quickly taught to us that we weren't allowed to carry that knowing or to have it.
Right. Because we have to be serious.
You have to be serious now, and life is serious. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it's worked so well for the planet, hasn't it?
It has, hasn't it? I mean, everyone is so joyful.
And you can tell by the results, actually. Everyone has plenty to eat. Everyone has tons of money.
You know, the abundance of giving and receiving, and the abundance of so much is less so many people so unfulfilled, empty, and lost. And I think it's a daily connection, like you said, a daily intention to look for the happiness within, to recognize the happiness outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not seeing it or allowing the connection within, then what's being reflected to us outwardly, we won't even see the opportunities of happiness. And sometimes life knocks you down so low on your knees that all you have left is to stare into the petal of a flower and to see God's face looking back at you and you looking at God from within and being refilled with that knowing. And sometimes if that's all you have, that is everything. And to begin again is to begin from a place of ecstatic happiness. And that's possible without being brought to your knees.
But, you know, sometimes being brought to your knees like that is a good thing when you get knocked down. Because all you have there is your pure essence. You're like, oh, my gosh, all my expectations haven't been met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, I hurt.
Yes.
I really, really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And what is there except to look at from within,
mm-hmm.
outwards? And because, you know, we're all the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say this all the same time. We're the same person.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one. And when you get to that point, those are those sort of spiritual aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
Those Pentecostal experiences that, you know, as an energy worker, I try very hard not to manifest in your life, you know. But those are the moments that we really have to stop and think and go, wow, it's all perception.
Yes.
It's all perception. It's my perception of what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, therein, there's, for me, I know my happiness is a choice. Because, you know, there are mornings I get up and I struggle,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right. Well, and yes, I agree, as do I, most definitely. And that not only a perception is a choice, but what you believe, you perceive, and you eventually receive. And so if you keep feeding into that, and then there's the growth once you realize, you keep feeding into a certain perception, then you receive that outcome, or worse than it could possibly ever be, and then you're able to step back and look at, this is how I added to that. This is how I energetically, magnetically, and emotionally drew that to me, and I now know that that is something that I will not do again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's where we come down on this physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we come out here into the wilderness.
Amen, sister.
Yes. You know, out in the wilderness with our little tiny backpack and our little Swiss Army knife with nail clippers and a nail file for us girls, you know.
We
love that.
Absolutely.
And we're out here, you know, trying to remember who we are. And who we are, of course, one must assume that when the divine creator created us, it was out of joy and happiness. You know, unconditional love is the vital essence of the universe. So we are that anyway.
Yeah.
We are happy.
Mm-hmm.
But we come out here to, I think, a very highly evolved being called Tai Lin, not someone you channeled, but
mm-hmm.
you know, that old English guy I talked about who was a really good psychic who's retired now.
Yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Which is why you have no competition.
Him.
Yeah. he channeled a very highly evolved being called Tai Lin, and we said to him one day, can you explain creation? And he was like, you come here, you're already perfect. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're already perfect. So, and you're happy and you're joyous and everything is already there. But you come and you put yourself out into the Badlands, as it were, so that you can experience everything that there is to experience of your own creation, resolve it all in love, and take the karmic soul complete, resolved in love, back to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we forget that we are creators of our own experience.
Yes.
That therein is the choice of the happiness.
We are, and that we're participating in the journey, and that at any time in the journey, we can choose love and we can choose compassion and kindness, and that not every journey has to be bringing us to our knees in order for awakening to happen, that we can choose the awakening to happen through kindness, through compassion, through forgiveness, instead of being knocked down and thrown down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Subtle shifts of perspective in our
yes.
learning, subtle shifts.
Yes.
Absolutely, in all things.
Yeah.
You know, gentle awareness.
So folks, when you're in the stores and you're Christmas shopping, remember that next time. You're standing in line or you're reaching for something and it's the last one. To not knock each other down, but to offer the abundance of knowing that within, that if I let this go, something better will come back to me. And remember that in all areas of your life.
Yeah.
You know, allow life to flow through us.
Mm-hmm.
Just allow it. And, you know, Abraham, one of my favorite mm-hmm. collectives out there from the other worlds, always says, nothing that you want is upstream. Everything is downstream. Just relax and allow it to happen. And, you know, happiness isn't conditional. Let's just remind ourselves that we don't need something to make us happy. We were born happy.
Mm-hmm.
If we're needing something or someone, an expectation, we have a spiritual void.
I think, too, I'm in agreement with that, mm-hmm. a spiritual void. But we also have, possibly from past lives or present life, inner children or inner child, emotional immaturity that is at that moment in time, in that experience, whatever experience you're having, that you're feeling fear, contraction, or non-happiness, that to look within, sometimes, unfortunately, it's too late, or we believe that we get the experience from the other parties that it's too late, but sometimes the fulfillment and wholeness of what's possible in this dimension, and that's why I love this dimension, is the opportunity in a moment to have full knowing and full awakening and a full integration of inner child, emotion, and mind and spirit as one, an alignment that as intense as you are having disharmony, that there's in that moment you can completely align with harmony. And that is for us to recognize and realize that none of us are perfect, but the imperfection is the perfection, and that it leads us all to a place of compassion, and that within the inner child, within you, what was not met, you might find after you have reacted outwardly that that is awakening for you, that this place hasn't been met yet within me, and I need to meet it there, and then continue on from there. So I think striving for perfection is what a lot of society teaches and mirrors to one another. I think instead striving to be in the moment and be mindful of what is happening, not just around you, outside of you, and to others, but within you, what's happening for you in that moment, is also what will bring you to a place of a greater flow instead of a fight, and a greater compassion and an ability for happiness to be found in the darkest of places. One point of light illuminates all.
Better to light one candle, right, than just stagger about in the dark.
Yeah.
You know, going back to what you said about being happy now, I mean, number one, we don't really have a choice. If we do understand the law of attraction anyway, we understand that our thoughts create our future. You know, be happy now. In fact, let's all make little button pins and run around. Be happy now. Be happy now. You know, we have to understand we're always going to be unfulfilled. We're never going to be fully fulfilled. We're ever evolving. We're ever growing. We're ever changing. You know, the perfection that we come from is basically the unlimited, untapped potential of all that there is, all that there was, all that there ever will be. It's the unlimited potential. It's the essence of the growth, the mm-hmm. promise of that growth.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as perfection. So all you perfectionists out there, let yourselves off the hook, please. No, I used to be one. I am a recovering perfectionist. I am. And it was horrible. It was so limiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, striving for that point of perfection, striving for that, if I could just do it this way, it would be brilliant and I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mortal limitation. That's crashing your brain cells in. Mm-hmm. I want you all to let yourselves off the hook out there and just be happy in the moment, because there is no past and there is no future in a truly spiritually evolved mind.
I agree. And with that said, in addition to it, the unfulfillment literally comes from, I think, that we will constantly be striving and excited, let's take it to the basics, and wanting to experience the next flower that's going to come through the earth, the unfulfillment of the next garden, the unfulfillment of the next inspiration, etc. So I think that the unfulfillment is that we will always be desiring to interact and integrate and experience what is the next growth and the next connection, because humanity strives and desires desperately for connection, and not only connection, but to be seen and to be recognized and to be heard. We all do. And sometimes we do it in a way that it creates the opposite, not being seen and heard. But in that learning, in that teaching, is the opportunity for deep, not only humility, but deep love and a return to an understanding and trying to affect the same situation, or if freed from that situation, the next one differently. And that is the beauty of the continued seeker.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, happiness also doesn't have to be noisy. I know with us it usually is. We're gigglers. But, you know, happiness comes from that inner peace. You know, people say the peace that surpasses all understanding and all that. You know, there's an inner peace in knowing how much control you have over your incarnation, over your creation. And I think as human beings, human beings, you know, not doings. I don't know who said that, but that's precious. I love that. We run around all the time. We're always trying to achieve something. We're trying to affect change. We're trying to do. There's a lot of doo-doo there. You know, and I really think, come back to us, Cynthia.
Yes.
Come back to us.
Yep. I'm right here.
Yeah, you know, I really think we have to learn to be still a little bit. And quiet down.
In the doo-doo?
In the doo-doo. There's, you know, when I was a kid, yeah, we didn't do all these extracurricular activities that American kids do. I'm not saying it's wrong or whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, if you had a musical aptitude, you'd be given an instrument, and that would be your extracurricular activity. If you were good at sports, you'd be given a lacrosse stick and say, oh, go play for England, you know, or whatever. But all the kids that I come into contact to now, right now, they do so many things. They do an instrument, a sport, an art, this, that, the other, and scrapbooking and knitting and quilting and everything under the sun. I think we're overloading our children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't be, if you have all of these things that you're going to do and you're being taught to achieve a certain level of success in them, we're teaching them, it's too much pressure.
I think, too, the focus is their goal and not the journey. The focus is what they will win or lose in the eyes of those who have put pressure on them. And the focus, too, is they really don't get to know themselves at a place of deep self-love, which is, if I don't accomplish this, am I still okay? If I don't fulfill this, will I still be lovable? If I don't meet this timeline, and now let's take this into our adulthood and our work schedules. If I don't meet this timeline, I will be less than. I will be fired. I will be let go. And so, yes, I think that teaching, the pressure of it, and maybe the unconscious, consistent message of that plays out in our adult lives as well. And we end up not getting to know ourselves, and sometimes before it's too late.
You know, there isn't enough room sometimes in our children's minds, I think, to allow them to think.
Mm-hmm.
We don't teach how to think. Now, when I was at boarding school, I was actually, with everything else that went on, I was, and being told I was stupid because I was too happy, I was actually taught how to think, and I was taught how to focus my thoughts. And in some crazy little Church of England way, they really understood that would help me.
Mm-hmm.
That would really help me if I could focus my thoughts. And a lot of that was that I did have free time. To sit, if I so chose to, under a tree and talk to a fairy, that type of thing. And we believe in the little people in England. So, you know, I think some of the kids are a little overloaded, and I mention that because you're not happy if you're trying to achieve all these things all the time. But think about it, all of these patterns that you're setting up for yourselves at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're just going to go into your adult life, and just like Cynthia said, however, because you're older and there's more energy flowing through your life at that point, you're really going to be stuck in some ingrained patterns, and you're going to start to blow some electrical circuits up there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a look at, do we have enough imagination time, creation time for our children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I feel qualified to talk about that because I see so many confused children.
Well, I completely agree with you, and I would say to apply that as well to adults. Do adults give themselves as well enough time to be in their own creativity and in their own imagination? Or are they so busy trying to?
They're too busy trying to.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. Everyone, you know, we've always been taught everything we want, we have to struggle for, we have to fight. And And when we die, there's more rewards, and they'll build a statue to us if we work really hard. But, you know, we don't need to work that hard. We really don't. We just need to learn how to think and to focus our thought energy.
And to feel and to align. You know, see, so folks, you don't need to work that hard. You just need to think, focus, feel.
Exactly. You know, whatever you think, good, bad, or ugly, God, who loves you unconditionally, is going to support that thought. And depending on the amount of focus that you have, it's going to physically manifest on some level.
Yes, and like Ani said today to me, which was supreme advice and tremendously grateful advice that I received from her, was everything is working for our good, and everything that happens is a blessing. So, yes, amen to that. And that if we remind ourselves from the most horrific events that occur, if we remind ourselves of that, or if we can keep going back and forth like a ping pong until that is the reminder of everything is good, becomes the only presence of mind, then we diminish the bomb that has internally exploded in the emotional body, and it diminishes every time we communicate with it and say everything is working for our good and this is a blessing.
And the more we take that advice, and the more we resolve our emotions in love, with forgiveness being one of the major tools at our disposal, you know, we feel less and less negative emotion. And the less negative emotion that you feel, and this is really bad English coming from somebody who's English. But cancel, but you know what I mean. The less negative you feel in general, that's a tool at your disposal to see your evolution, because then the contrast isn't so great between you and your alignment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all trying to just, the more aligned we are, the more we allow.
Absolutely.
You know, then we don't feel so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do, that's fine, because, you know, we're here for the contrast, and we go, oh, where did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
6666, you know, resolve and all that. But it's allow yourself time. We're so busy. And then we go out and we do things and we regret them, and then we desperately try to make them right. And hello, planet, wake up, slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Slow down, breathe, and know that in the worst of situations to the best of situations, that the breath that you struggle to take in the worst of situations is the most freeing and the most easy breath you're taking in the freedom. And so the breath is the same. It's the breath of life. It is the source of life. And that source of life, as long as we can breathe and continue to breathe, that truly everything is working for our good, with us, through us, and for us. And so sometimes it takes coming to a place of realizing that at least I can breathe, and in that breath I have access to creating all that is and with all that is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, my father used to say, oxygenation will save this nation. Because he always, you know, he was Armenian, you know, in case you didn't know out there that my father was Armenian. He still is, actually. Hello, Dad. Hello, Dad. Sorry, yeah, I know you're still with us. But, you know, we grew up in England, and he always used to make fun of the English, God bless him, because he's they don't breathe. They just walk around like this, not breathing.
No,
breathing, talking. You know. And he was like, people oxygenate. You don't understand. You know, there's a reason they call it the breath of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really slows you down. When you're trying to pray or you're trying to meditate, most people don't know where to start. And they teach you in Eastern philosophies, don't even think about anything. Just lay on the floor and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
The oxygen itself will clear all the redundant thought patterns from your subtle energetic body, and you'll allow spirit in.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that gives me the sensation of not needing to control anything, but instead giving up the control and moving into a place where all parts of us are connected to the divine and don't need our control, because they're working for us and in a way that has no agenda other than to create life and to create beauty and love. And so you spoke of that, and it gave me the sensation of the ability to completely let go and trust and not need to control.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, controlling is a mortal limitation. It's what do we need to control? We came forth from this great stream of consciousness, you know, the God pod. Who can fathom what's in there? I can't. Maybe Lord Michael can. I can't.
Oh, come on. Starbucks and M&M's.
I told you about those M&M's are not good for you, Cynthia. You've got to lay off those. There's dye in the coloring, and it's bad for your headache. So, you know, we don't know what's in the heart and mind of God. What we do know is that that's where we came from. And all we have to do is tune into that vibration. And that vibration that loves us unconditionally will follow us and flow through us. And, hey, guess what? I've had a wonderful thought. If we all did this, we would all really love each other, and we'd all recognize each other as divine beings, and we could have a sort of utopian experience.
We could, and tune in next... Tune in next time for that utopian experience.
Yes, there will be a utopian experience.
Yes.
You know? But seriously, it's these little, tiny little thoughts, isn't it? Just thinking about these things once or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one.
Yeah.
We were born happy.
Yeah.
I choose to be happy. I choose to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Since nothing really is, it's all our perception anyway.
Mm-hmm. All our perception and communicating all the matter that is around us, through us and with us, is communicating, how do you want me to represent myself to you? I was holding snow today, and I was looking at the particles communicating with each other in agreement that they would represent the matter of snow. And it was incredible. I was seeing how a web of a spider had all the snow on it, and it almost was like the framing to that spider web. But my point is that the agreement of oneness with the elements that exist on the earth and how they are working together with each other and communicating in that utopia you spoke of, in unconditional love, in the ability to support one another's creation.
Now, I feel guilty now because I attacked snow with a shovel this morning. So I probably destroyed multitudes of universes, and maybe there were spiders under there too. No.
Well,
but it and the snow actually was particularly beautiful this time around. It was like fine powder.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
Beautiful. Now let's talk about interesting and in opposite or maybe at the same time, stress, its effect on happiness, and that sometimes trying to be happy creates the stress of it.
I can make a comment on that as somebody who used to work in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
It's limiting. Stress is limiting. Mm-hmm. It actually shuts your energetic anatomy down. It shuts your brain cells down. It's all a question of prioritizing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're being expected to do too many things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone would say to you, okay, you've got to make a list of 20 things to do today and achieve them all. That's rubbish. Make a list of 3 and do them all. Because if you make a list of 20 things to do, you'll do 6, and everything else will be on the next list, and then the next list, and then it'll just go on forever.
Yes.
You know, pick 3 things and do them. Prioritize what's really important.
Well, and I think, too, in agreement with you, that if you have children, and you're running a business, and you have a tremendous amount of responsibility on you, that I agree with Ani that you start navigating differently, and you have 10 things on your plate, you take 5 or 3, and you accomplish those, and then you share and you teach through the living of it to the children and to those around you. You teach them a different way of living, and that you don't teach it to them through talking it and then showing them a different view, but you teach it to them through living it and showing them that you accept it and embrace it, and that change at times is not only possible, but it is the only avenue to choose. Because a lot of times children learn from what they watch, relationships learn from the relationship they had before, etc. And, you know, sometimes great change starts building and building and building, and it comes to a situation that explodes. And it explodes because it's saying it can no longer hold the old. It has to allow the new in. And embracing the new, either in a relationship or if that relationship is no longer available, embracing it within yourself and being open to new relationships, that is the key to reducing stress. So not opposing change and not holding it back, not forcing the future to display the past, because of the uncomfortability of the unknown of the future, that all of that creates stress, and you're literally holding back the natural flow of what's coming in. So being comfortable to embrace that.
That's a very major point, actually. We want to act out of inspiration.
Yes.
Not memory.
And not desperation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And certainly not perspiration. Because that would mean we're working far too hard and we were going upstream instead of downstream. You know, try and remember, people, and I don't know who can, but what it must have been like during the Big Bang. Mm. You know, that was your little thing where God said, okay, go out there and create something. And you'd said, but what? Because nothing exists. And God, well, you're inspired and you're divine. And look what we created. We created worlds, and this planet is one of them. You know, good point. You know, inspiration, not memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always going to happen the same time around
mm-hmm.
if we learn the lesson
yes.
and we resolve the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's still pushing your buttons, you haven't learned the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister.
You're not done with the karma if someone's still pushing your buttons. So, you know, stress is you just refusing to cope. It's not you not being able to cope. It's you not seeing what the big picture is. And I'm talking from experience of somebody who spent a very large part of their life stressed and buying into everybody else's drama, but no more.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen the error of my ways, and I have such a better life for it.
Well, and then in the inclusiveness of all of human beings, everyone has their own timing, their own growth, possibility and opportunity. Every corner, every experience, and every interaction is an opportunity for change, for awareness, for growth. And it is up to the individual if they're going to choose that at that moment. And if not, no judgment. It simply will come back around over and over and over again. Until really, I think most human beings are striving for freedom. Freedom with themselves first, and then freedom with others. And that freedom can be a personal freedom. It can be a freedom defined however and wherever in your life you're feeling a lack of it.
Yeah, you define yourself. You know, a word of advice, always don't decide too soon who and what you are. Because then you're going to stop growing, you know? You may be a wonderful coal miner, but you may, you know, become a geologist later on, and then you might be a martini mixer, which is a very wonderful occupation, in my opinion. So, you know, don't decide too soon. Allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to grow.
Mm.
Because, heck, you know, you've got this whole incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just define yourself with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chop and change a bit.
Oh, my gosh, I think we have a caller.
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Am I online?
You are.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I am listening to you two, and you crack me up. And about 2 hours ago, I got the joy thing. I realized that the spiritual hibernation I've been in, which has been really great because it's shown me my doo-doo, has basically said you're basically self-annihilating yourself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we celebrate you.
Thank you. I'm doing it myself.
Yes, we celebrate you. Share the joy.
Thank you. So now it's about redreaming the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, what is that? That's
mm-hmm.
the next stage. What is the dream? I don't want it to be a memory. I don't want it to be anything that I've had, which is all great and good. I want it to be new. So how
I'll tell
do
you
I...
something.
Okay.
Hmm?
So how do I bring that in?
You know, one key, and again, only if it resonates, make it your own, but one key is in the creation process of redreaming your dream, the way to not recreate the same thing is to go about it differently. So your actions, use different actions to go about it. I don't care if you're making files, choose all different colored files. You're implementing different energy in everything you're doing to bring about a new dimensional energetic invited into redreaming this dream. And when you think of what should I do, how can I redefine myself, think of something you haven't represented yourself as yet, or if you have represented yourself as a portion of what you we're inspired by, then go for it completely with, again, you want to look at applying different techniques, different visions, communications, and emotional interactions with what you're creating, that will in turn most definitely create a new dream for you with new tools. Ani?
Mm. And the other part of that for me is always take a look at your life thus far and make peace with everything that's happened in your life up until this point. We would say let yourself off the hook, understand old lessons, close the book.
Mm.
And just be sure that, you know, you've resolved and evolved everything thus far so that you really can be in your point of power and live a day at a time. And that isn't going to happen overnight.
No, I realized that because I said to myself, 2008 is about closing old doors. It is really about wrapping up, seeing everything I've done thus far, great, bad, whatever, and just being thankful for it.
Absolutely.
And now,
that's the attitude.
Yeah, I got it. I finally got it. Ding! Yahoo! But I
Yay for you!
Thanks. I also realized that this new dream, I want it in a completely different house. I've got this beautiful house, but it's like I'm done with it. I don't find myself dreaming, like, bigger.
Then go for it. And know that if you are in your house and it is no longer supporting the bigger vision of the extension of your body, then your house, and I know this to be as a fact, your house that you're in now wants to gift you. It wants to gift you in a way that it can be an exchange for all the love and light and care of it, that it can now gift you your freedom to go bigger by becoming an exchange monetarily for you.
I feel that. I absolutely feel that. I see that coming in the new year. I see a new home, wherever that may be. I'm figuring that out now. I mean, I could feel it, like see it in my mind's eye, so that's great. The other question.
Absolutely. Well, you're more than on your way, and just every day celebrate that and know that we celebrate you too. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing.
Enjoy the ride.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's what we want to hear. Evolution in progress.
Yes, absolutely.
Well done.
Absolutely. Well, now is very much a time in all of humanity that if you are not growing, if you are not paying attention to the signs within you or your life, your work, your relationships that are trying to say to you, you're done here, or your behavior is done, or your definition, your comfort level, it no longer serves you now. It's starting to now isolate you or suffocate you, and you're still not listening, then you're going to get an even bigger wake-up call where you will be able to choose then again to embrace not only the changes within you, but the changes around you physically, like the caller with her home, knowing that not being in fear of what's to come, but her excitement and inspiration of what was possible.
Excitement. It's all about excitement. Absolutely. You know, I was going to say something really profound right now, Cynthia. But, you know, whenever, this always happens when I don't make notes. It's just completely gone. I hope it comes back.
It will come back because you are profound, so
it will
find you.
It was such a good thing, but if it comes back, people, I'll let you know. But, you know, I think it has something to do with the fact of understanding how excited we were to have this incarnation.
Yes.
You know, and I know we don't remember that because then we hang around for 9 months and pop out. And we're no longer aware of our sort of, you know, spiritual selves at that point. But we were really, really excited about the condition that you are in right now. You were really excited to have the manifestation of what you are experiencing right now. So whenever you're feeling confused or less than joyous and aligned, just remind yourself of that excitement.
Mm, beautiful.
You know, it helps me.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. This morning, putting chains on my car, it helped me. I chose this.
Well, and then when we return to a position of I've chose this, we go from a place of resentment and a place of fighting the situation to a place of flowing with it and feeling that it is not overpowering us, but we are aligned to this is possible. We can make this happen. But I think people, those listening and participating, and we're so grateful that you are, that forgiveness of ourselves first is paramount to forgiveness outside of us on any level. It has to come from within. It has to come authentically for us in a way that we don't make others responsible in our future to hold that for us instead of us offering that ourselves. And if we find that we're doing that, it's an opportunity of awakening.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I mean this comes up in my work every single day when I'm clearing chakras and clearing energetic anatomy. You know, as we forgive and release all the redundant thought patterns, make everything clean, pure, and vital, you're not just forgiving one person for that one incident. Mm-hmm. You're clearing generational lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every error in thought, speech, or deed throughout all generations of time and space, by forgiving yourself and also forgiving the other person, mm-hmm. you're forgiving them, their friends, their family, all generations of time and space, making the world a better place. Thank you for bringing that up.
Absolutely.
Actually, that was the profound thought that I had. That was my thought. You just brought it up.
You can have it. It's all yours.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And since we're the same person.
We are the same person.
You can have it.
Thank you, dear.
But that's the beauty of why we are human, and also all the other forms on Earth, is that we're creating paths that were not available for us for those who come after us. Not just physical paths, but paths of consciousness, paths of emotional stability, of emotional maturity, and paths of joy and celebration and what's possible.
What we think is made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing for our future generations? And given the earthlings, we just keep reincarnating all the time. You know, it could be us coming back, you know. We are usually our own ancestors and all that. So we're not just putting good stuff in the karma bank for future generations. We could be part of those future generations. Personally, I'm not coming back. But for the rest of you who are, because I'm done, but the rest of you who are coming back, think about that. You know, you're really purifying the planet for a greater expansion.
Well, if you are everybody, a portion of you is coming back.
Yeah, thanks. I was really hoping to move inward after a while. All right. Well, whatever, if you say so. You're my psychic. You know what I've done, and you know where I'm going, so I'll take your word for it.
Oh, no. But now is such a time of it's of a time of intensity. Right now on the Earth is such an intense time. We're all feeling that intensity. And at the level of intensity of the darkest moments in our lives, same opportunity is the level of intensity of the brightest awakening and light in our lives, the biggest aha moment and the greatest freedom. And so if we hold on to that aha moment and the freedom, we just continue moving forward and being kind and gentle with ourselves. You know, we have a tendency to be there watching other children fall down or hurt themselves, and we're there to pick them up and to help them feel okay about what just happened and to heal their boo-boo. And, you know, as adults, when we falter and we fall and we find ourselves not acting in a way we even recognize ourselves, that we have to be able to be kind to ourselves, loving, and address our own personal boo-boos, and then, you know, stand up and get back on the bike and rejoin the person that we were. Nothing's been lost. Nothing has been lost. Other than in that moment, if we withhold from ourselves love, forgiveness, and kindness after we have fallen off, then we are holding ourselves hostage much longer than necessary. And maybe for a reason. It's our choice.
Don't be in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allow the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a certain amount of growing pain, and I think it's, you know, resolving emotions and walking into this new expansion and consciousness that Cynthia's talking about, it doesn't require you to suddenly go, okay, well, that was the old way, okay, now the new way.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to know where you are and understand and allow those subtle shifts to happen
mm-hmm.
so that you're really understanding your process and where you were, how you perceive things, where you're going. So take the time, allow it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all going to happen overnight.
Yes, absolutely. And two, the ability to look at situations regardless of who they're with and to understand that if a breakdown occurs, that it is not the end of not only who you were but what you shared, that the possibility of what you shared prior to that breakdown with yourself and others, any enlightenment or awareness or inspiration will continue, that it will not be lost, that you are losing the moment when you don't recognize that you are divine, even in the moment. And this is where we get lost, many human beings. When we are acting in we define or judge that we are acting in a non-divine way, then we decide that we are separating ourselves from our divine breath of life and our divinity. And it does not necessarily align with that unless you are acting only in a divine way and only kind, that is when you are close to your creativity or to your creator. Sometimes when we are in the lowest of our places with ourselves and each other is when sometimes we are the closest to our creator and creating anew.
Very well put. Mm. Our physical reality, or I would say our physical non-reality, and our absolute divinity, they're working hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever we're doing down here, and I think of it as this great computer game that we score points and keep making up and evolving as we go along. And, hey, I work with a lot of teenage boys. I know from computer games. You know, but source energy is always there with us. Our perfection is always safe. Mm-hmm. In the heart and mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
So never think of yourself as one or the other.
Right.
If you're actually having a physical incarnation, you are both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I call it the marriage of matter and spirit as one. Matter being our physical bodies and spirit within us and what we feel and what we perceive and interact with. It's an incredible opportunity, always filled with the possibility of returning to light and really embracing the moment. Now, sadness, despair, fear, anger, we will all have that in our humanity. And we all have learned, most of us have learned, from those places, the greatest awakening. And it's not that that's required, but like Ani was saying, there's no separation. They're working hand in hand with laughter, light, and love as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we came down here, as they say, for the contrast. You know, if everything was wonderful from the get-go, we would have stayed in the God pod.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here to see what tastes good and what tastes bad. If something tastes bad, we want the stuff that tastes good. So we aspire, and we're always evolving and attuning and calibrating. It's fabulous, man. Every emotion that we resolve in love,
mm-hmm.
we make the universe a bigger place.
Yes, you know? For our own personal universe and for the universe around us and each other. It's a tremendous opportunity. And, you know, to be quite honest, that is the only reason why any human being stops and takes notices or even recognizes that another human being is standing there is to have a perception of themselves, to have a self-knowing. Because if I am not that, then I must be this. And if I'm not this, then I must be that. And I call it the plane of demonstration on this this level of matter. And it's the plane of demonstration meaning that we are all here to teach one another and to awaken and rise to the occasion together.
You call it the plane of demonstration. I call it the illusion of earthly confusion.
I call it a large pepperoni pizza.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good, actually. Yeah. Organic, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that out there right now, with the stress of holidays, the stress of seeing relatives that you haven't seen, I don't know, in a year or more, and looking at one another and maybe unresolved issues, et cetera, I invite everyone to be in their hearts and to really visualize that the heart of the person in front of you, if you're sending that your own heart light and warmth towards that person, that it'll bypass the blockage of their mind and they will feel warmth in their heart and all of a sudden the room will feel different.
Yes. Be kind. Be gentle.
Yes.
You know?
And when you're not kind and gentle, after not being, then be kind and gentle and loving and forgiving. Because to hold yourself hostage and to hold yourself a prisoner of past choices, emotionally or otherwise, is really to stay there and to never go beyond it.
Exactly. Remember,
mm-hmm.
there's no sin. There's only error. Error in perception, error in thought, in speech, in deed. Let yourself off the hook. You came out to this planet to do just this. You came to mess up so that you could resolve and make the wilderness a utopia. Always let yourself off the hook. Remember, if something still hurts you, it's still happening. If it's not resolved in love, if it's not forgiven, it's still happening, and you're blocking that expansion, which is exactly what Cynthia was talking about mm-hmm. earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to block the expansion. We don't want to blast through it either. We want to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But just be aware of the universal principles that mm-hmm. guide us.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, the universe is full of people with a sense of humor, but universal law is impersonal and has no sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So let's learn those principles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And I think apply them in the smallest of ways regarding tasks and then into the biggest of ways regarding universal and global issues. But that I heard the word the other day, frenemy, which meant friend and enemy. And, you know, it's interesting because if you put the two together, then you have one person or one perception that offers you both. It depends on which side and which individual you are wanting to interact with.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Frenemy.
Frenemy. It sounds like some sort of Brazilian pudding dessert.
Well,
something, doesn't it? I have a frenemy, please.
Well, I am Brazilian, so
oh,
I should
right,
know
you
that.
Are. I was watching that Anthony Bourdain show. That's,
oh.
That's a frenemy. I love that.
Frenemy, yes. And, you know, I do not take responsibility for that word because it came from some television show. But nonetheless, the frenemy aspect can be construed and contemplated as you are looking at one person in one situation. That person can be your frenemy. You're either going to react to that person looking at them from the friendship side or from the enemy side. Or look at them and react straight down the center, which is the androgynous side, which means you're not reacting to them in one way or another, but in a universal way. That's the hope.
You still had me on frenemy. I'm still going with that. I've got to do something. That's a wonderful word. It's a wonderful concept. And it teaches the perception. What do you want to, what fire do you want to fuel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to actually get out there and have enemies, or do you want to see them as friends and walk away from the fight?
Right. Yes, walk away from the fight, or when the fight is over, look at each other, smile, laugh, grab each other's hands, and buy each other some pizza.
Are you hungry? Is this what this is all about?
No, that's comfort food.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not just about pizza.
Mm.
No, it's about so much more. But now is an intense time, and so I invite everyone to really decide how you're going to use that intensity. Is it going to add to your life or take away from it? Is it going to help you in this moment, or is it not? And if you find that you've chosen a moment or a time where it hasn't helped you, know that in that very recognition, you can choose again and choose to have the intensity help you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to change your mind.
Yes.
I mean, ladies do it all the time.
Yeah.
You're allowed to change your mind. You're ever evolving.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that principle in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never be fulfilled because you're ever changing, ever growing, ever
mm-hmm.
evolving. And allow that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're creators.
Mm-hmm.
We're creators of just infinite potential.
Yes, absolutely.
Having a little earth fun.
That's how I see it.
It's a fun planet.
Well, it can be, but you have to choose that fun.
I choose fun.
Because take it from here, if you don't choose that fun, you don't have that experience.
You know, I kind of look around, and I see that.
Yes.
Just
yes.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes we choose that ourselves. We become so hyper-focused on something that makes us unhappy and because we believe that we are intensely trying to change it and that we can fix it and we can change this unhappiness to a happiness. But what ends up happening is we dig our heels in further into the unhappiness and all of a sudden we find that that is all we have fueled and given life to.
Yep. Don't try to affect anything. Just allow it. It's
mm-hmm.
already there.
Mm-hmm.
Allow the stream of consciousness to flow through it and be.
Yeah. Well, we are so thankful for every single individual that is present here today and participating. Forever, our gratitude goes on and on for your participation and your inclusiveness. We're going to be wrapping it up, and we really invite you to tune in on December 29th at 8 p.m. The show will be about the new year, new beginnings, and new intentions.
I'm looking forward to that one. New Year's a big time for me.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We know you're out there. We can't see you, but we know you're. We feel you. And as always, we welcome your feedback. Our email address is brazilbrit@gmail.com. brazilbrit@gmail.com.
Yes.
And this is Ani Avedisian encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.